you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
And this is SupDoc, a show where we talk to interesting people with strong opinions about their favorite documentaries.
On today's episode, we discuss the 2012 30 for 30 documentary, You Don't Know Bo, The Legend of Bo Jackson, directed by Michael Bonfiglio. You Don't Know Bo is a look at the man and the myth that captured our collective imagination.
And our guest today is the hilarious comedian Billy Wayne Davis. Billy Wayne is currently on tour promoting the fuck out of his new comedy album, Live at Third Man Records, which coincidentally was recorded live at Third Man Records earlier this year.
Boom. We're on. We're rolling.
How is... Microphones are... You just adjust to them.
Yeah.
I don't adjust to you.
No, you move. If you do a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
You know, you do
or sometimes they don't work and you got to just like.
Yeah. Well, for live versus like a show, I guess it's like I'm the only one that can monitor it. I did a show the other day where there was monitors and in Portland and it threw me off to have monitors.
Dude,
was it
to
a
hear
big
your
room?
Own voice? It's okay. There's a room in Portland, in downtown Portland, Owl's Den and the Crystal Hotel or something like that. It's really cool. My friend was like, it's like a perfect, you feel like you walk into 60s.
It's
like
a Harry Potter book.
Something like that, Owl's Magic Tavern. But it's like, it felt, he was like, he saw jazz down there. I'm like, I feel like I'm in like Greenwich Village in the 60s.
Oh, that's
It's
cool.
A really cool underground space. They do shows every Friday, Saturday. It's not like, you know, it's just a showcasey. I got paid, which is better than any other show in Portland, I guess, that I have done. True. But I'm sure like if you go and you do the Keelium or whatever, you get a full
I don't
deal
do the clubs. I went and played. Last time I played Dante's.
Okay, yeah, that's the rock club.
I think I just want to build my audience at Dante's. It was a fun place to.
It's like metal shows mostly, I think. Yeah.
And then there's weird, like kind of goth looking go-go cages, and it's in the downstairs
fun.
Area. Looks like if I could just kept walking, like there's an opium den
somewhere
down here.
You should check out this other spot if you're because they do like a 10:30 show on Fridays and Saturdays.
Well, that's the best thing about Portland is like you go for like 2 days and then you get up like 18 times.
Yeah,
I was they're doing a show in a market right now. Yeah. Like, it's 3 a.m.
It's a butchery. I did a show last night at a rock club I opened in West Hollywood and it was a 3-mic setup with fucking monitors and the mic was really loud and there was they put a little reverb on the mic, which I was not
interesting
for comedy. That's terrible.
I mean, there was bands after me
comedy bands
and stuff, so it was me a guitarist and then an actual band.
A comedy band.
Yeah, like a funny band.
Like Drennan type stuff or like a band that's
like
or
a
like
comedy.
Steel Panther where the whole thing's a joke.
Yeah. Well, they're not I mean they're a band that does funny songs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so, the whole it's not like a whole piece.
No.
Gotcha.
I think it's getting towards that. But it wasn't that yet.
What about Wheeler Walker Jr.? Do you guys know?
I don't know that one. I heard of Steel Panther.
Any country I mention, I'll automatically assume from now on that I'm going to have to explain it.
Yeah, yes, I don't know a lot.
It's fine.
I don't know a lot about sports either, so it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
you ever
well, my relationship with Bo Jackson is probably, I mean, sports is an important part of it, but there's something else about him that I really... That strikes a chord with me.
Sure.
We should do a formal intro, by the way, because we are rolling too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're here with Billy Wayne Davis.
Hi.
Hi.
Comedian, sports fan, comedy lover, country music somewhat listener. Do you listen to more than just country music?
Yes, but I realized recently that all the music I like, every genre, is still kind of the same.
It's
like true hip hop and country music's very similar. You could probably like, so it's. And the rock I like is very just bass, raw emotion,
right,
you know,
right.
And instruments and them telling a story. So it's like all the same.
You yep. like the narrative, both hip hop and country have like these.
I like art.
Yeah.
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 When it comes to it's art.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If it's someone telling their story in an interesting way, it's, yeah.
And you were just telling us before we got on that you did a tour opening for Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah. That was last fall. So, yeah, that was pretty dope.
And he's a guy, he's a musician, but you feel you have simpatico, like.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The mix of what I do and what he does was like, it made for a really cool thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks every time. So, since you've mentioned that tour, there's something in your eyes that it looks like you have a lot of stories.
Yeah.
From that. Because you always, you pause, you look away, and you go, that was fun. Yeah. One of those, like.
I think, and it's kind of like what I just said, where like, I don't think I've truly processed all of it yet.
From a year ago.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It was like, because I was so focused on, like, I'm going to knock this shit out of the park every night.
Right.
And, because this is a cool opportunity.
Yeah.
And my friend Sturgill's, you know.
Yeah.
He's making quite a gesture.
There's the look. That was the look. Yeah. Was there a lot of drinking and partying? Or?
No, neither of us drink.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, neither of us party. It was. I think that was what was also cool about it.
Yeah.
What are the crowds like?
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was like my wheelhouse.
That's your demographic, pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, and then there was fun people where, like, there's a Zionist white supremacist in Spokane.
of course.
He reviewed the show.
Oh, he reviewed
it.
For what?
I made him. This what? Is one of my favorite fucking, can I cuss as a fucking
podcast? Yes, a fucking indeed. Podcast.
Yeah. Okay, because I, good, because it's the
all the
living,
way up to the C word.
It's the,
and beyond.
It's the living room feel where I'm just like, yeah, this motherfucker,
yeah,
and
do
you're
it.
Like, okay, cool. Okay. Actually, Sturgill sent it to me, like after the tour, he was like, have you read this? This is hilarious. And the guy was a Sturgill fan. Until I made him really reevaluate Sturgill's lyrics, just from my comedy,
yeah.
Because like, and he called me anti-white and blasphemous, and I was like, well, he got it.
Guess he understands.
Yeah, he got what I was doing.
That's funny.
Yes. And then my girlfriend Erin, she pointed out, she's like, but can you imagine this man's point of view? Like when you walked out, you have blonde hair and blue eyes. He's like, all right, this all checks out.
Yeah.
He's like, and then your accent, and then your name. He's like, this is all perfect.
It's on the checklist.
And then you start saying what you say, and I was like, oh, I bet his head exploded. Like that scene in Chappelle where it's just like.
I like that. There was like just a white nationalist yelp happening.
Yeah. Just
they're just reviewing. They're like, this didn't quite live up to my standards.
Well, it was, yeah, he reevaluated Sturgill, and that happened. You would see that in the crowds, where there would just be like, kind of like, just redneck dickheads
in Spokane.
Well, yeah. Just all over,
right, all yeah. over
because of the sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
yeah.
The sound
yeah.
he plays,
right,
which
right.
is that traditional country sound.
Yeah.
And then you see them like looking around, be like, where the hell's everybody else like me?
Yeah.
And then that's when they start listening to the words.
Where they're
like, this guy's not what we thought he
right.
was. Yeah.
Were there other, but were there like younger people of color yeah. fans in the audience as well, or just white dudes and white women?
I mean, on a whole national
it
tour.
I think it would depend.
I mean, on average, yeah. though.
I mean, on average, it's mostly white people.
Yeah, so it would
a
seem
country
like
sound,
right? Yeah. And those people would walk in, and it seemed like then they you know they'd be like, oh.
But then it would depend. I mean, it's that's true. But any demo, like if we went to bigger the city, the more diverse the crowd was.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's not like a Nick Cave crowd or something necessarily,
I don't
right?
know.
Or like
what is that? I don't know what that
Nick
is.
Nick Cave, like
it's an artist,
Cave
right?
and Bad Seeds. Yeah, just because he's Australian, but people that. He everything he does is very referential to American country music, like there's sort of like an undertone to it.
Mm-hmm.
But people that it's sort of like people that are like goth, but they like do like heroin and Nick Cave. They would maybe go see certain kinds of country, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah,
sad. I think the word you're looking for is just
sad people.
Everyone's sad. Yes. No. He's not sad. He's pretty powerful more than anything.
Yeah, I listened to his interview. I was just mentioning this before we recorded. I was listening to his Marc Maron interview. It's really good. Made me want to go see him. And I think I saw him at Outside Lands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably.
This, yeah.
But, yeah, he went on, like, last year was, it was like, it was all taken off last year.
Yeah.
Like in the summer before I got on, before I jumped on the tour, they were just tons of the whole festival thing.
Right.
And you became friends because you knew each other because of performing or because of just circles? Or?
Twitter.
Oh, there we go.
That's how you got on this show, actually.
Yeah.
This is how you do all your outreach at Twitter.
It's not, but sometimes I'll just see it and be like, hey, that I want to do that.
Yeah.
I love the premise of this podcast. I haven't listened to many episodes just because I don't listen to many podcasts.
Well, you're not alone. So
it's just the majority of people.
There's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every now and then I'll see, like if I get interested in a subject, that's what I'll do is listen to podcasts while I'm driving and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump to the CMT show.
Okay.
Out of that, which is that you hosted a documentary show for Morgan Spurlock's company.
Yes. They got a just in passing, this old manager I had. I don't have a manager right now.
You don't really need one until you're like someone get him a manager. You don't need one.
Unless you're like a really good one and then we'll talk.
Right.
Most of you know you suck. I'm just kidding. And I'm not talking
about...
The
power base of our listeners.
And whoever said he's talking about me, I'm not talking about you.
No, it's that other guy.
It's that other dickhead that you don't like.
That other dickhead, yeah.
This town's
one of
ridiculous.
The good ones. Yeah.
Yes. It was like in passing one day in like our conversation, she was like, oh, like someone like CMT and... Morgan Spurlock, they're doing a documentary. Would you be interested in hosting it? And when I heard CMT, it was like literally my brain was like, nah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll talk to Supersize Me.
Yeah.
And it just sounded great. Like I would just go around the country talking to people about how they exercise their freedoms and their different freedoms or why they moved to a certain place because they didn't feel free in another place to be who they are or whatever. And then I talked to them for a little bit, and then I had booked this show at the Virgil,
mm-hmm.
With Zach Swellen and Chris Crofton and DeRosa. And it was like a weird night, and I'd been trying to get a show there. I just moved to town, and I just wanted to get like a weekly or monthly there. And they were being difficult, and then they threw me, like, someone canceled, like, last minute. So I had, like, a week, and, like, no one showed up. And the sound dude, like, this young kid was, like, he was, like, letting us in, and you could tell he's, like, hungover and just, like, he was being a dick. And I was, like, just trying to be positive about all this because the director for the documentary was coming. And I was, like, oh, this is funny.
Wait, Morgan Spurlock was coming.
Not him, the director.
He's a producer?
It was just through his production company, yeah. So he's executive producer.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So the director, Matt Testa, we had had coffee and kind of got along. And then that's when I realized, like, oh, they're still, like, testing. They're seeing.
Right.
And but he was, like, a nice guy. So, like, I think he and I would have got along no matter what, which was nice. And, like, no one was there.
Yeah.
And
bunch of folding chairs in front. Yeah.
Not even that.
Not even
no.
that.
Not yeah. even, because we were like, don't bother. Don't
even. No need
the
to
bartender.
The bartender's like, he was like in a good mood because there's like
he
six
loves comedy,
of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are nice. Yeah. They're good.
And he was like, I'm going to make money from you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And,
that's also a really good lineup, too.
It was a nice, yeah. Well, Joe DeRosa showed up and he's like, I'm not doing this. And we're like, peace. And then,
great.
Like, Crofton went up and played some songs and then messed with some people. And then Zach went up and did some stuff. Because we were like, we were there. Let's just not, we don't have to do our time.
But, yeah.
But we can go up and fuck around. Yeah. We got this building. And mm-hmm. then you guys are drinking. It's fine. And then I went up and was just kind of talking about how terrible it was. And then I started messing with the sound guy. I was like, oh, you're in a good mood now. You don't have to work. I was like, you're being a dick earlier. And he started laughing. And Matt told me later that when I messed with that guy and turned him around
mm-hmm.
to liking me, He was like, oh, this is our guy.
Right. Because you can talk to anybody then.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, that guy was in a bad mood. I even noticed it. And now you just, he was like, you called it out. And then literally within 30 seconds, he was like, your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, this is our guy. Like, I get chills talking about it because, like, because that night I was like, oh, I think I fucked this up.
Yeah.
It's like nobody here, but it was like the best thing that could have happened.
Sometimes good opportunities come out of shitty experiences like that.
Most.
Yeah, exactly. And
if you
also,
just keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. Say yes to fucking opportunities. Keep moving forward. But how shitty of
Tell DeRosa. Like, he missed out.
DeRosa could have,
I think I think he knows he still made the right decision.
he does. DeRosa wouldn't be good for CMT.
He was like, I thought we were doing comedy, but I was like, I did too. Yeah, we're not.
That's funny. So
you can go home.
So you made some. Yeah. You shot some stuff for CMT, and it'll be out at some point.
No, it came out last summer.
Oh, it came out last summer. Sorry.
Which says a lot about the problem. With
what's the name of the show?
It was Morgan Spurlock Presents Freedom, the movie. And when we negotiated the thing, like it seemed like everyone was like pretty on board. Like this, we're gonna do a movie, but. It's to introduce, there's going to be a TV show.
Mm.
Because even the way it's shot, it's like episodic. Because I go across, and they made it into a, it was brilliant the way they, you know, Morgan and the Warrior Poets, this is top notch. I would work with them again in a second if we found the right thing. And I think that's what we're doing. We both, there wasn't like, okay, see you guys. It was like, well, when we figure something else out.
Because
They're fucking straight shooters. This is West Virginia people, you know, that's where he's from. So we understood each other.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you left too? Yeah. I love it, but we got to go.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't promoted at all. Like, I did no interviews. Morgan made a push, and we were just kind of like waiting for CMT to do something. And then they put some commercials and some Instagram things out. And there was like no... And then when it premiered, it was after 4 hours of Jeff Dunham.
Wow.
Which is like, oh, you guys just said, okay, that's what comedy do we have?
Yeah.
That's a comedian. That's a comedy thing. This'll, and it's like, no, that is the opposite of what we're doing.
Yeah. So they're like their third marathon of Jeff Dunham specials or something?
Yeah. And then it was like 9:30 on a Saturday night.
Right.
And, it was just like, okay. And then they showed it 3 times.
Mm.
I don't know where, like, I think one of you guys asked for it, and I did look for it. Like, I didn't just flake on that.
Yeah.
It's just not on CMT's website or anything.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I asked if there was a link. Yeah.
Yeah, and I looked for it, and I was like, that's crazy. I can't find this thing.
That is pretty crazy.
I could find, like, stuff about it.
Right.
But I was like, I want to send them the... At one point, I got an email that they were going to play it on the Armed Forces Network.
There is one?
Well, it's like on the boats and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like when they're overseas, they can get...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
It's like Canadian television, kind of, where it's like they take the best of or whatever they can get. I'd say it's skewed patriotic. I'd say there's not a lot of cynical shit on the armed forces.
Yeah, I would think so.
But, it was like that was an important lesson for me. It was like, oh, you got to just do your own. You've got, if it's yours and you care about it, you've got to go into it.
100%.
You've got to do it too, because you can't depend on the network to do it, because they might not give a shit.
Right.
Did you work with the producers on like what the segments were going to be and like pitch some segment ideas or like what are your favorite segments that came out of it?
The Lion Lady was pretty interesting. In Pahrump, Nevada, we spent a whole week in this one town in Nevada, which is like, I think an hour and a half north of Vegas. I can never tell which direction you're going when you leave Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they call it one of the freest places and left in the, like, you know, there's open carry laws. Like, people were literally just walking around with guns.
Oh, wow.
Just because they could.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places where you can, there's gambling, prostitution.
Right.
That's where the Bunny Ranch. We went to Sherry's Ranch. I spent a day at a brothel. which was, I mean, without a doubt, it should be legalized and regulated for because it's safer for both sides.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like marijuana where it's like, oh, it's because like 10 people are making a shit ton of money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of,
right,
you know. And then that was kind of depressing, though, at the end because it is like a, the novelty of it wore off of yeah. being at a brothel. Like, and I think it was when we were leaving, like at the end of the day, and you're just like, oh, you guys are just going to
go back.
Just keep fucking, huh?
Keep fucking, yeah. It's kind of like going to a strip club. It seems like a great idea, and it's fun for the first hour.
Yeah.
But then after, if you're there longer, it's just, it starts.
It's tough.
Like, it's tough.
It's heavy.
It's heavy, yeah, it is.
I think that's what it's like a heavy thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a heavy thing to be a part of.
What's the lion part, though?
Oh,
the lion lady?
Yes, there was this this weird Russian lady. She was great in her own crazy way, but we couldn't figure out where she had been married in Washington State, and she had like to some crazy rich dude is what we've assumed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got divorced, but she had like a pet lion or tiger, and then they changed the laws, and you couldn't have one or something,
yeah.
And like. Pahrump, Nevada is one of the few. There's like a couple still left, but one of the few places where you can have
exotic pets.
Like, she had, okay, I played with a liger.
You did?
Like,
wow.
Like a liger cub.
Whoa. Oh my God.
First of all, I was like, so these are real.
Yeah.
It's not some Napoleon.
It's not Photoshop. Yeah.
Dynamite
not
like, thing. And she was like, yeah, this is a. And I was like, and it was like a, I guess it was the size of like a. Fluffy, strong.
George is about to cry.
Labrador.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, like a cat.
Yeah.
About that size. And just the most fun I've, because it's like a cub.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was like messing
with wrestling.
And then once I got comfortable with him, I was like, and then the guy came over. He's like, stop playing the way you're playing with that. And I was like, oh, is he going to hurt me? He's like, no. He's not going to hurt you because if he was going to hurt you, he already would have.
Uh-huh.
Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Just because, and he was like, but they don't realize when they get bigger that they're bigger.
Right.
That's right.
And then they'll just do that to me and then knock my fucking head off.
Yeah.
And I was like, how big would the liger get? This is fascinating. He was like, I don't know. And I was like, what does that mean?
What exactly is that?
The donkeys of the predator cat world.
Well, the mules. When they breed, they have to breed like a male, female. And I'm not going to get this correct because it's been a while. But the hormone that stops growth,
mm-hmm.
The way that they breed, this one doesn't they don't have it.
Wow.
So they just get bigger and bigger and bigger until they die.
Game of Thrones size, yeah.
Wow.
Which is like they'll die because your organs get too big to fucking. That's like why like giants.
So it's a defect. They have a genetic. It's what they're bred to be. They're in nature really.
No, they are.
They are in nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are in nature, but very rare that a tiger and a lion fought.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they've just found them
because
you know nothing's absolute. But
that is true. And speaking of rare creatures, Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Was that a segue? Is that a good segue?
No.
Also, when I realized the King of the Jungle is just like the most appropriate metaphor. Like you know, the Rasta lion, those t-shirts?
Where
it's like a lion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a real lion is.
Mm-hmm.
They just chill most of the day.
You're right. Yeah.
And the females who does all the
the hunting.
Right.
And
that thing where the lion's like, that's them smelling you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
And that's which, you know, movies and stuff love that.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, the MGM thing.
But the I got to go around. There's a white tiger. But we'll get to Bo Jackson, but this part's fascinating. It's like a white tiger, and they have all these, and it's just on their property.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one thing they didn't. There was a female lioness, and they wouldn't take me. They didn't mention her.
Oh, wow.
But at one point, they're shooting them, doing some, like, shots just of them, so I just start walking around by myself.
Oh no!
And I was walking to see this other thing, and I used to feel a presence, and I was just like, "What the fuck?" And I turn, and this she's just, and she's in a big cage right. where, and I hadn't seen her. They didn't talk about her, and which was even weirder.
Yeah.
And I just, she's tracking me.
Whoa.
And in not, and not in that, yes.
You're
like
primal
in a,
thinking.
Like, I got chills talking about it because it is like, it was this thing of like, holy fucking, like if I was in, if this fence wasn't there, dead.
Yeah.
She would have eaten me.
That's like every like lizard brain thing kicking in. Yes. That's what it was designed to do, is let you know when that was going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was just, it was a feeling of being like, what the fuck?
Wow.
And then I went back and once we were done, we'd wrap for the day. We're all just kind of hanging out talking. I'm playing with the liger. And I was like, hey, real quick, the lion, the female lion. And they're like, you didn't walk down there. Like, they, you could see their thing change.
Jesus.
Because there was like a PR part of it, I guess.
Right.
Where some people don't understand. They're like, you shouldn't have them as pets and blah, blah.
Oh, right.
You need to put them like, well, no, you can't. Those animals can't live in the wild ever again. That right. lion was born in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So people don't understand that part of it. So, and they get, you know, passionate. So,
yeah.
Come after them. So she was like, we just didn't want that because she's also scary and a little unpredictable.
And you have a camera crew.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of shit going around. Yeah. And we're just like, no, we understood that. It was just like, and I told them the story and they're like, oh, yeah, she's like a, yeah.
Wow. And
like, that's why we have her.
I'm a little confused. Is it like a zoo? What's the,
no.
It's a house or something. It's
private
their,
property.
It's their thing.
Just private property.
Way far out, right. almost to the BLM.
Right.
On the mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
Way far out.
Right.
Have but, either of you guys seen that documentary about, you know, Tippi Hedren, the actress from the Hitchcock movies? Her daughter's Melanie Griffith. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, 60s, they adopted a bunch of wild cats.
Oh, right, right.
Had them, I think, in L.A., like, and on this property. And there's, like, photos of, like, Melanie Griffith as a kid, like, playing with tigers and stuff. And there's a documentary about it. I have not seen it.
I
really
either.
Want to see it because it does not end well.
No.
Yeah. Cannot end well.
No.
But freedom. You have the freedom to
You can do it.
Try it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it if you can get
the lady,
property.
Oh, God. The lady who had the gorilla tear her face
Yeah,
off.
And her hands.
Oh.
And she lived.
Oh,
which
my God.
Is even crazier.
Wait, was she the one that owned it or was she the
friend
that was visiting?
It was
That's
the
what
friend that was visiting.
The person responsible was not even the victim in that case. Oh, my God.
No, she
the
was
worst.
Just.
Yeah, but if my friend's got a chimp or something like in his apartment. I'm like, nah.
Do you mind cat sitting?
You know what? You can come to my house.
Yeah.
We'll just hang out at my
house.
I got TV. It's cool. My dog is not part of the evolutionary chain
my
of our species.
Do you have a dog?
Yes. I have a dog named Bo Jackson.
The dog is named Bo Jackson.
Yes,
that's
of course.
Amazing.
All right.
What happened was I literally, like, Aaron had been mentioning a dog or just in passing a couple times. And literally, I flew out to Denver and wasn't to my hotel yet. I had landed and was in the Uber to my hotel, and I started getting pictures of this dog. And I was like, it's not even noon yet.
Right.
Like, I'm not even, like...
She was focused.
Like, dried. Like if I was in the getting out of the shower, I've not even dried off yet. That's how long I haven't been gone. And she's like, I'm getting this dog. You can name him.
Like, oh, that's nice.
I was like, well played.
Yes. She understands.
Like, Bo Jackson. And she was like, perfect. So we have he has a Raiders collar. We have the little.
Oh, nice.
He's got a little tag with Bo Jackson's picture on it.
Oh, that's cool. And that is that. So you obviously have a deep love for this man, for Bo Jackson. You wanted to talk about this.
He was like the first athlete. Him and Jose Canseco, which is an even weirder one. Like, now that's just like this novelty where I love him on Twitter. He's fascinating. Every now and then he'll reply to me for
Jose Canseco does?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has like a couple times he calls me B-Dub. Both times he's done it too. It's like this weird
that's
thing.
That's awesome.
You could open for him.
Well, I want to approach
you and
Vice.
And Canseco on a tour.
Because he does these like weekends with Jose in Vegas. He charges. But I want Vice to pay him, and me and him go, and I just like write about it or film it.
Yeah, now we have our documentary.
Yeah,
because
Morgan,
I think
if you're listening,
and it was weird he called me B-Dub because when I played baseball in college, that's what everyone called me. Mm-hmm. So that was like a weird thing. It was like, I don't know if that's just like a baseball thing.
Oh,
like,
right. Well, I think a lot of sports guys like to have like they make like quick nicknames
yeah.
for people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
George W. Bush was like that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
hey, it's like a, hey, Slim.
Hey.
Yeah, Brownie.
You're dumb.
Yeah.
Now, you're dumb head.
It's going to sound vaguely autistic, but I hate when W is a nickname for someone because it's more syllables than their usual name.
It's crazy.
That's what I kind of don't like about it. And that seems like just a weird
and
grammar.
It's a double V, if yeah. we're being correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Double V. Yeah, yeah.
Right. W is, I mean, as someone, because I was BW.
Right.
In school.
Yeah.
That always just bugged my brain.
Right.
Because, look, it's two Vs. It's yeah. so obvious.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's, like, extraordinary. Just doesn't, that doesn't make sense.
But so that Canseco was one of your first people, and then so those two. So 88, 89-ish, is this when you're getting into?
Probably. Yeah, yeah, I was like seven, eight mm-hmm. years old. Yeah, that's when it, I think, got into what my so second, third grade is like when you start kind of playing sports mm-hmm. instead of being like all toys all the time.
Right.
And you liked people that were on the, like on other, like West Coast teams, even though it's not, it's usually it's regional pride, you would think, right? It's just the talent of
well,
the individual.
Well, I was in Tennessee, so there's yeah. no, there's there no was team. No team there. There's no, at that time, there were no professional teams. Like, I'm sure there was minor league baseball and hockey and stuff. But
college, though.
It's, yeah, Tennessee yeah, football is yeah. like a big thing. So, but like, yeah, that's even I remember that like growing up. Like, I never dreamed of playing in the NFL. It was always like Tennessee football.
Yeah,
you play Tennessee because there's 100,000 people at the games. So like, right. I don't know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is a big deal.
And your worldview is really small then. So, mm-hmm. but Bo Jackson, I just like the way he played. Sports and he played both sports and I played all the sports even like I remember looking back like even a lot of kids didn't they were like I like to play football and then they play and I was like I whatever season it was
right
I wanted to play that
mm-hmm.
And I just liked the way and then I read his book probably in like third or fourth grade which I can't awesome. Believe I remember that's when I learned what get laid meant because at one point when he was in college he talks about going and getting laid he was like I'll go to this go home get laid I'll go to this and do this and go home and get laid and I was like what does that mean
what is this book
yeah what is get laid it's like nap you slap a lot And then, yeah, and kind like, of. It means sex, and I still didn't understand.
Yeah.
But I understood. I was like, okay.
Bo Jackson was as good an athlete as the country has seen probably since Jim Thorpe.
To me, he's the greatest athlete of the 20th century. And there's not even an argument there.
Every two or three days, he would do something to make you just kind of scratch your head and say, man, I don't know if I saw that right, you know?
Bo Jackson was the first superhero of my generation.
There's something mythical about everything that he did.
There goes Bo, and nobody catches Bo.
He may not stop yet. Tacoma.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bo Jackson was huge, though. That's what, like, it's such a cultural, it's such an 80s thing.
Well, not like, only did he play two sports, he was, like, one of the best in both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, like, this weird thing of, like, okay, I don't know if you could even do that. Oh, shit, he's, like, and it, I think Jeremy Schapp in the documentary says it best. It's like the way he did extraordinary things with a what?
Like a shrug.
Kind of like, yeah. Like that's the best description of like why
yeah.
Bo Jackson is amazing. And then you talked. It's also that watching that documentary is the first time Aaron saw me cry.
Oh, wow.
What scene?
Were you watching it with your dog, Bo Jackson?
No, we didn't have him yet.
Oh, okay.
That'd
have been sweet.
Oh, that would have been.
Because this came out in 2012, right?
Yeah.
The 30 for 30 series. Yeah.
And we were in Tacoma, Washington. Actually, we were in. That's the club we were playing was. It's not there in there. That club's not there anymore. We were staying in 30 minutes from Tacoma because that's where they put us up at. It was a nice
far.
Hotel, but it was still like, it's like.
Yeah, that's far.
You could have put us up in Seattle.
Yeah.
But you went south.
Towards Olympia, yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of it? Puyallup.
Mm. I've seen the sign. I never had to say it ever.
Yeah, and I don't think I nailed it just then either.
Yeah, I've always heard there's a really good club in Tacoma.
There is now. Yeah, Adam Norwest has a great club called Tacoma Comedy Club, and I think he just opened one in Spokane. And they do it. I don't like a lot of clubs. I don't play a lot of clubs anymore. But those two are quality. There's a handful I like.
Mm-hmm.
But. Was I talking about?
The first time you guys saw it, you and Aaron watched it in the hotel.
When I already love him, and he's very humble about his whole, and he makes good decisions. He's not a crazy dickhead. He's just a good country boy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? He mm-hmm. really is. He's mm-hmm. like a country.
Alabama, yeah.
Just a good, and from the fucking sticks. Bessemer is the sticks. It's close to Birmingham, but it's 1,000 years away.
Yeah.
But he just, you do your job. You right. do it the best you can.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. It's like that Jim Brown thing of like, yeah, I did it.
Right.
We're done.
It was so natural for him. It wasn't like he was doing anything extraordinary or over the top. It was like, that's why I loved, like, I'm going to take this to Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Bernie, but Jesus, I just forgot his name. The running back for the Lions.
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, thank you.
I love Barry Sanders.
Wow, I had politics on the brain. I said Bernie Sanders. Barry Sanders.
Similar dudes.
Very similar.
They're confused a lot.
I wrote in Barry.
Barry Sanders.
On my ballot.
Tomorrow we wrote Barry Sanders.
Yeah, it's like, he's one of my favorite politicians. But Barry Sanders was my favorite running. You know, and he always handed the ball back to the official when he scored a touchdown.
Like he didn't just do the most incredible shit you've ever
seen.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Breaking people's ankles, jumping over people, making an entire defense run after his ass, and getting 200 yards in one play, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would hand the ball to the ref and be like, done. And I was always amazed by that. So growing up, Barry was like my Bo Jackson to you.
Yeah.
Like, I loved Barry Sanders. And my dad and I would go see Lions games all the time, and they would lose all the fucking time.
Well, that's
time.
What they do.
That is what they do. They do it very well.
And I feel like the whole city and organization has accepted that on some level, and it's not going to change until everyone's like, we could win.
It's ingrained into the system. And Ford Field sells out every Sunday.
They're developing a Cubs thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, like, we're going to make a ton of money one day.
Yeah,
and exactly. They're already making. I mean, Wrigley sells out.
All the time.
And has for, yeah.
And all the businesses around Wrigleyville, in Wrigleyville mm-hmm. sell. I mean, that's all. They all do crazy business. That is.
That's some of the drunkest I've ever been.
Oh, of course.
Is that part of Chicago.
Yeah.
I remember thinking one night, like, holy shit, everyone's this drunk?
Yeah. My buddy used to have one of those apartments across the street from the stadium, from the field, and we would go there, and they have those bleachers on top now.
I couldn't do that.
That was, yeah, that's
that
fun.
Drunk, that high up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, sir.
No, I don't drink anymore, but now, especially sober, just be like, no, this is a nightmare. But,
what was the scene where you cried when you first
good.
Saw this?
When he comes back after getting a fake hit and plays baseball.
God. Oh, yeah,
and
the White Sox.
Hits and told his mom, who's dying of cancer, my first at bat when I play in the major leagues again, I'm going to hit you a home run.
Yeah.
And then he motherfucking did it.
Then he did
it. I'm going to cry right now talking about it.
I cried at some point. I might have cried a little bit.
Like Aaron, I remember Aaron came out of the bathroom of the hotel. She's like,
what the fuck?
She said something and she was like, are you okay? What's wrong?
Yeah.
What's up, water coming out?
And I was just like, his mom dying of cancer, you're a fucking home run.
Yeah,
for
dude.
Like, that's just
that's what sports is all about.
That's
those
what
moments.
The whole point of life is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's that moment. Absolutely.
I got you, Mom. I'm gonna do what I do best.
Yeah.
For you.
And it's one of those stories too that you hear quite a bit, but like it's something you can't forget about. It's like single mom. I think he was one of 10 kids. That he said, I think he mentioned that she had 10 children.
He said his dad was not around.
And his dad, so single
no,
mom.
No, and they called him Bo because he was wild like a boar.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Vincent Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vincent Edward Jackson.
Oh.
And then Bo is a nickname because they called him Boar because he had a temper and was wild as a boar.
Right.
Yeah. And he stuttered.
Right.
That's right. He talks about that early on.
And he overcame a stutter. That's also, I mean, I didn't hear well early on in my life. Like, I had a lot of fluid in my ears, so I didn't say certain letters correct, and we figured out it was because I couldn't hear correctly. And so I had to go to speech class early on in my, like, elementary.
Sure.
So also reading that it was like a lot of, like, this motherfucker, yes.
Yeah.
And I think his values, I was raised similar, whereas it's like, no, you do your fucking job the best you can.
Yeah.
And then you show up and do it again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they're talking about him throwing the crab apples at the other kids,
just
and they would quit.
Them up.
Just fucking them up. They would quit, and he'd be like, I'm just getting started.
Yeah, I just got loose.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Dude, there's always one of those kids in a neighborhood. Dude, they don't always go on to be stars in two sports.
I just say normally not.
my neighborhood.
The bully, yeah.
There's
man.
Always one kid who's like,
giant.
Who's like, why are you seven? Or just like, why are you 5'10 at 12 years old.
Yeah, and like 160.
But that same dude I'm thinking of, I recently ran into when I was back in my hometown seeing my parents.
Yeah.
And he's the same size.
Right.
As he was then.
He was big early.
Yeah.
Then he stopped.
That was it.
Yeah. Those kind of kids. We always say, the names are always like kind of fucked up too. And, you know, and their moms are a little fucked up and like.
Always fucked up.
Yeah.
It was like the mom was always.
Always. Yeah. We had one. I don't want to.
It's like she fucked a giant. That
exactly.
Was coming through town one time. Yeah.
He was, I remember he pulled apart my Stretch Armstrong, which was not fucking easy. I don't know if
that's terrifying.
Yeah.
A child pulled apart.
That's not strength. That's like, oh, you got like inner anger shit.
Yeah. That's special need strength.
Yes.
That is like, he was a big dude, very young. And I remember he was like, I want to play with it. And then he's like ripped apart my Stretch Armstrong. And I was like, what the fuck? And my
this
parents
is
were like,
why I can't have rabbits.
Yeah. Just squeeze them to
very
death.
Steinbeck, yeah.
The stuttering thing is, I didn't actually know that. I didn't even realize that. And then when they talk about his high school records, like high jumping 6'8".
Well, that's what people don't realize. Like, he was breaking records at Auburn. He played three sports at Auburn.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Track, right? Track
was track.
His other one, which makes sense, yeah.
Baseball and football in the SEC.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's... And it was like the best at all.
He was
of
getting
that.
Scouted by Steinbrenner in high school, right? That's the story.
Yeah.
Steinbrenner wanted to get him straight out of high school.
Yeah. And what was... In the documentary, Steinbrenner says, I'm going to start at a $250,000 and keep going up until you say yes.
And they had to think about it. And his mom told him not to do it, right?
Which is
for
amazing.
A single mom to say that.
I love that story.
It was the education part.
Yeah. Mm. She was like, no, fuck you. Like, we have gotten along without your money already. Fuck you and your money. My kid's going to fucking college. Mm-hmm. I love that part. It's like, that's...
I like that as well.
And I like when he was like, well, Steinbrenner was a little pissed, but like, I'm going to go to college.
Yeah.
And then...
He's so calm about it. He's
so
like, I got a little mad at me, but...
Yeah. And then the college part, because here's a little interesting anecdote for me, is I was my high school girls' football coach. So in high school, we had a girls' football team.
The grammar of that was confusing. It sounded like you had a high school girl.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. Because I was like, I don't understand what that is. Can you rephrase it
yes,
slightly? I'll attempt. In our high school in Michigan, football is so big. It's so important that we had a girls' high school
football
team.
Okay.
And I was the coach of that.
Okay.
And
while you're in high school?
Yes.
Okay.
While I was in high school. And I was a big Bear Bryant fan, so I used to wear the same kind of fedora as Bear Bryant.
He's a high school football coach, my dad is.
Oh,
Bear
dad.
Bryant is God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So your dad's a high school football coach. Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And teacher.
Oh, right. Was he like the English department or history or something?
No. Well, he did have some history classes, but I think now... I think he teaches like PE and driver's ed.
Perfect.
But he's earned it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
been
yeah.
30-something years. Yeah, I was like, what do you do during the day, Dad? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they play basketball. I think about football.
So you guys both grew up with Bear Bryant as this huge icon?
Not as probably as big as for Billy. I mean, for me, he was just, like, he was college football. I mean, Bo Schembechler, for me, was bigger, but.
Really?
Yeah.
I just, a dad always, like, I think that's who dad liked, which was odd to me because we were Tennessee fans.
Oh, right. So yeah, that is weird. It,
you know, there was probably a couple of years before, you know, your brain's fully developed. You're like, but I thought we loved the orange.
Right.
How can you also respect?
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you're like, oh, because he's what Bear Bryant did and the way he did it.
Right.
Was like what my father admired.
Right.
And then like my dad, like, I was like, Bobby Knight. And that's who I would. I mean, if I would have played college basketball, that's who I would have wanted to play for.
Oh, really? Indiana?
I think I respond to that. I learned that about myself. Is like, you can't do that. All right.
Yeah.
Did you play basketball?
I played until my sophomore year in high school.
Right.
And just because I realized if I wanted to go to college, that basketball was like the least possible one.
Did you end up going on a sports scholarship?
I went and played baseball for a couple
okay.
years.
Okay. So you got
recruited to play football some places.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized real quick, I went to a couple college practices, like visits. And you're like, these motherfuckers hit hard.
Yeah. They're
every
big.
Play.
Yeah.
Football?
Yeah.
Yes. Like the
brain damage. Yeah.
Like the level.
Right.
Well, and then I was like, I'm going to. And then I had the realization, like, I hate football practice. Right. I like Friday nights.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Football practice sucks. Yeah. You know what's fun? Baseball.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm playing baseball, it's chill.
Well, Bo also hated practice, right? He's like, I don't even know the point of it.
He didn't need it.
Yeah, he didn't need it.
And
like, I don't need to run back and forth.
They mentioned in the documentary that they weren't even sure he lifted weights. Like, he was just naturally that big.
Just shooting archery the whole time.
No, and he says in the documentary, he's like, I put a gym in there in my house so that they just stop asking me questions.
Wow.
He's like, but I never use that shit.
That's amazing.
Just genetically that way.
He's like, I stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Everyone That's, needs to stretch.
Yeah, then Boomer Esiason's like, this guy gets done with his baseball season, takes about a couple hours to stretch, and then plays for running back for the Raiders.
For the Raiders.
And then gets 200 yards in a game.
Because that was his hobby.
Because it's his hobby, right? That's
that was
right.
His hobby.
That's his hobbies. Yes.
Were you more of a Royals fan or a Raiders fan?
I'm still a Raiders fan.
Okay.
Oh, so you are.
Yeah.
Team-wise, that's why you gave him the Raiders collar. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I came out a couple of years ago. I tried to be a Titans fan, but they came when I was in college.
Yeah.
Also, the name I mean, I talk about that. I got a new bit where I talk about that.
They remember the Titans. Or
well, it's I talk about Tennessee's a landlocked state.
Mm-hmm.
You know who doesn't know that? The people that came up with the Tennessee Titans, because the Titan is a mythical fucking sea creature.
Right. Yeah.
That I was like, I get the alliteration, but like maybe tornadoes, because that's a thing we have in Tennessee.
Right.
It just
termites. Yeah.
That bugged me.
Yeah. Steve McNair though.
I loved him.
Yeah.
I liked Eddie George.
Yeah, Eddie George is amazing. Ohio State though, but whatever.
Yeah, I know, but we beat him.
Yeah.
His senior year,
Fuck
Tennessee beat
guys.
Him in the fucking Sugar Bowl. So it when he won a Heisman, it works out.
Yeah.
He still lives in Nashville. He's a good dude.
Okay.
The Steve McNair thing is so sad.
I know.
If you're going to have a side piece, they can't be crazy.
No, you can't get them crazy. They're always crazy, though. The side pieces are always crazy.
They have to be crazy to want to be a side piece.
Exactly. That's I was the there paradigm. That week when he got killed. We went down there. We went to the Jack Daniels distillery and were hanging.
Low.
Yep. And hanging out there when he got killed. It was pretty nuts.
And this is morbid, but you know, like I was still living in Nashville doing stand up then. And the chick that, you know, murder suicide him, she was like 22.
Yeah.
And she worked at the Dave and Buster's in Opry Mills. And certain events you think of certain things.
Yeah.
Like 9/11, there's probably things you think about like that day. Just funny, weird things. And then like, and I was we were comics then, so that happened. And someone just put on this comedy message board, like, I do hear that Dave and Buster's is hiring. Just like so fresh.
Oh, that's God damn it.
You leave but it you, to a comedian.
Did you not
I didn't know that whole story at all, but I yeah, that
and
is.
And you immediately started
too,
laughing though.
Yeah. That is
cuz it's like yeah. such a release too. Yeah, right. Where you're like, "Oh God,
that's
damn
what
it,
comedians
man.
Do."
Oh, that's
what did you guys do specifically, Billy? Do you see any comparisons between comedy and sports? Sports and comedy?
I mean, I use without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally the mental toughness you have to have in comedy, you have to have in sports to compete at certain levels.
Right.
You're saying I'm bad at comedy also? Is that?
No, I was not alluding
well, no,
to that.
Well, no, it's just parallels. And training.
Right.
I think the way I approach stand-up, you know, I've been doing it almost 13 years now, 13, 14 years, that I knew I didn't want to get famous in a hurry. I wanted to get good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's taken me a longer, like I've turned some stuff down and then haven't pursued certain things. But that's the part of, like, I think the sports thing is, like, I know if I'm good enough that when I get ready, I know I can go compete.
Right.
And I think I played baseball in junior college, but it was at we're the number one team in junior college in the nation.
Oh, wow.
It's my, like, it's to quote my friend Dan Whitehurst, that's like having the biggest dick in third grade. It's like, it's cool, but it's fleeting.
All right. It's not really necessary.
If people understand baseball, they understand, like, junior college baseball is like this high level.
Right.
Because there's a lot of idiots that go on to play professional baseball.
Right.
They can't get into good schools.
Right.
Because on my new album, I have a bit about it. So you should buy my new album. It's coming out on Third Man Records next month.
What's it going to be called?
Live at Third Man Records.
Perfect.
Billy Wayne Davis. And it's vinyl. And then, but if you buy the vinyl, you get a download of the.
Yeah. Of They're really shot. Good at having extra stuff with all their mail order stuff.
It's an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Kind of. That cool thing, but that the junior, like, I learned I wanted to go be the best.
Yeah,
if I was gonna, that's still how my brain works. That's why I live in Los Angeles, you know. Well, like, here's a great example. We were hiking the other day, and we were like, we got to about halfway, and somebody's like, "So you just wanna?" And I was like, "Oh, my brain will not allow us not to go
right,
to the top."
Yeah,
like, why are we? Why did we even do any of this shit if we're not going to go see the...
Still throwing crab apples, yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And they're like, and like, you could tell they would have, like, turned around, but they could see, like, oh, that's going to bother him for...
Right.
I was like, well, you guys are just have to wait on me.
I'll see run you at the car.
I'll run to the top and come back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
Me up just then.
I played football and basketball in high school and, like, you know, running suicides. Did you guys do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and hills, you know, and two-a-days. And I was always a smartass, you know.
That's how you get through it.
Exactly, yeah. My coach, we had Scott Roby on our team, our center. He was 5'5" and 300 pounds. He was, like, round. And my
he wasn't good, but it took a while to get around.
Yeah, but my coach would have me, he would get on my back, and I'd have to run hills with Scott Roby on my fucking back. Because I'd always talk back to the coach, you know, because I was a smart ass. And, like, so he'd be like, you're doing hills, man, Roby. And I'd have to, like, he'd get on my back and I'd have to run hills carrying this fucker.
But there's a glee in your face.
I liked it.
It's that masochistic part of being a stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the same shit where you're like, no, this is going to make
Paco's
me real.
Paco's been carrying me on his back on his podcast.
To make it full circle is like the Sturgill stuff opening for a band and a music act that they didn't realize comedy was about to happen to them.
Yeah.
And my name is Billy Wayne Davis, so most people thought I was a fucking singer to begin with.
I didn't know that part. They didn't bill you like a comedian?
Well, they just assume. They were there to see the headliner, right?
And so, then they would see with special guest Billy Wayne Davis.
Oh, shit.
And then
that's the hardest.
If they saw that,
right?
Yeah.
So a lot of if they were seated, if it was a seated theater,
right?
Mm-hmm. No problem,
right?
I got them immediately.
Yeah.
Rock club.
Yeah. Some of them were standing room, sold out rock clubs.
Oh boy.
But that's the shit. It's the sports
right.
thing.
Right.
It's like I made. It was so validating
to get those. Yeah.
To be like, because I would, there was only one where I was like, I'm going to kill everyone here. That's Salt Lake City.
yep.
I ended my set with like, Salt Lake City, most of you are cool. 12 of you need to kill yourselves. Have a good night.
That's
and I
one
knew something
family.
Special had happened because I walked off, and this was like late in the tour. I walked off stage, and the whole band and everybody was standing there watching, and I was like, oh, and they're like, that was amazing. I was just lost my mind. And that's
that
what
happens.
They love. Yes.
That
and
happens.
They love that because they're like, you get to say stuff we don't get to.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And then they would gauge the crowd too.
Right.
Yeah. But it was a couple nights I held these rooms together with everything I've ever learned in comedy.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that I'm so glad I went about this business the way I've went about it. It's been more painful than most, and I've made some terrible personal decisions that have like made it longer than it needs to go for me to pop or more
right.
people enter or I enter the lexicon more. But that's the sports thing was like I pushed and knew like you do the work. And then it was like there's a couple shows where I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And then you walk into the Beacon Theater and that's
awesome.
Just fucking cake.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you just get to, or you do three nights at the Ryman where you're just,
yeah.
You're like, oh, this is like.
That's your 200-yard rushing day.
Yes, that's yeah. that day where everything, like, it doesn't even feel like you're doing anything.
Right.
You're just floating.
For like 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
That kind of idea,
well, and right? Bo Jackson yeah. talked about only hearing the rushing of the wind through his helmet and not hearing the crowd. Those kind of gigs, when you
yeah.
have a set like that, you don't even, you come off stage and you're like, was that an hour? It felt like 5 minutes, or you know, like
yeah.
you don't even remember some of the stuff you said.
Yeah, you just kind of, it's just, and then it's over.
Yeah.
That's the weird part of it.
That's awesome.
Like you're just like, oh, that was perfect. And
yeah.
then like one night, and that's why comedy is also very humbling and wonderful. It was like, I had one of those sets in Denver where it was like, I held them all together.
Yeah.
And like while I was doing it, it was like one of those things where I was like, this is cool what I'm doing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. 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 Out of body kind of thing.
And I don't know if everyone in this, I don't think people even appreciate how hard
right.
what I'm doing.
Amen.
Is.
Do you ever have one of those sets where it's going so well, you think to yourself, don't fuck this up. Like, just keep going. Keep going.
No, that one was like, yeah, well, no, it was like, this is still work.
Yeah.
This is, you're not through
oh,
it.
Oh, right,
yes,
right, 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 yeah.
I understand what you're doing is cool, and
right,
I had this
right.
crazy crowd in the palm of my hand, and they didn't know what was happening
yeah.
in the beginning. And then I was like, because I was worried about that show, and then I was doing a show after that at the Comedy Works downtown Denver.
That's
which
supposed
is
to
like
be a great club.
The best room in the country.
That's what I keep hearing.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And other God, clubs won't. And I started at Zany's in my home club in Nashville, and that's a special, perfect place. But
yeah.
Comedy Zone downtown is out of this fucking world.
That's what I've heard.
I was like, so I'm on my way, and I was like, the tough one's over, and I fucking knocked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I get to the Comedy Works, and I'm just like, well, I'm about to just, you know. This is, who even cares? I can pull my dick out. This is going to be so easy. And literally, I had to kick, throughout the hour set I did, I had to kick 12 people out. I had to kick them out.
What?
It was, in the beginning, I thought there was just a, I could tell right away the way the guy was addressing me that I was like, oh, this guy's almost in a blackout.
Oh, right.
He's not even saying it. He doesn't know. He just needs to go.
Right, 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 right.
And then I was like, and if I do that, everybody else will be like, okay.
Right, right.
This guy.
Right. Go punch the biggest guy in the room
it
kind
was,
of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, or the,
and he's a problem.
Yeah.
And I kicked him out and his friend. And I thought, okay. But then, like, over here something happened.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was just like the way they were doing it. I was like, I can't. You got to go.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, shit.
Then I'd have the audience for like maybe 5 minutes to get through almost a bit.
Yeah.
And then something just out. And by the time I got like the last little group out. There's like 12 people, and then there's like maybe 40 people left.
Oh my god!
And I just kind of like, I was like, we made it.
Was that in Denver?
Yeah,
at the Comedy Works.
Yeah, oh, they got it. They taped it, and evidently someone was like, "Oh, that's a like a legendary show now."
That's...
Where I'm like, "Well, that's not what I want."
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But they're like, "No, it's like it's." But it was like so. It was like an anomaly at
right.
that. Club. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, like, even while it was happening, I was like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why at the best place is this happening?
Yeah, yeah.
I dislocated the hip out of the backside of the pelvic socket. And as soon as it dislocated, I knew it. And when I hit the ground, I rolled. And when I did that, I popped it back in the socket while I'm rolling. And it popped back in the socket. And I stood up and I went to take my first step, and it felt like somebody jabbed an ice pick up in my pelvic socket.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
I was so happy. This is an inside football thing, but to hear Keith Jackson
on
that doc.
Yes.
And I watched it this morning. I had seen it a bunch of years ago, but I watched it this morning. And I was like, oh, Keith Jackson.
Just, yes.
I love him so much.
And you know who I'm going to miss is Vern Lundquist.
Oh, yeah, Vern Lundquist.
I like to call him. He's like the widest man in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, and I don't mean that derogatory. He's
sure.
just like,
yeah.
When you think of like the, who's the perfect white dude? And you're like, Vern.
Yeah, yeah.
I like college football. He's like, just big round white head.
Oh, yeah. And he'd look boozy.
Oh, without a doubt, that dude's a drunk.
Like, you know, him and Madden would go, and like Al Michaels, like you can almost hear the ice clinking in the glass next to them.
Yeah, and then didn't Musburger get like popped on campus for like, he had like a beer. He was leaving
really?
The stadium, and it just sounded like some dickhead university
cop. I've never
cop.
Liked Brent Musburger.
I haven't either.
Oh, good.
But he's part of the lexicon.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
His voice is like one of those where like, oh, that's football.
Oh, yeah. But Keith Jackson, like, that is like...
Gravitas.
Oh, when he's like, we're here at the big house in Michigan.
Oh,
it's a just, barn burner.
Yeah,
of
oh, well, yeah. Oh, he loved you guys, too.
Oh,
see?
I know. He loved Michigan. Yeah.
And I hate Michigan.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
And
that's
there's
fair.
No, but
that's the end of
no, that's
no.
Fair.
And I just had this.
Turn that off, George.
No, and I know there's no reason.
Right.
My friend John in Atlanta recently, he had a Michigan hat on. I was like, "What the fuck, dude?" And
right.
He's like, "I love." He's like, "I love Michigan." I was like, "You know what? To be fair, I have no reason to hate
right.
them."
Right. Right.
And
right.
all I could think about was the stadium thing.
Oh, the big house, because.
Because we went back and forth with
right.
Neyland
oh,
Stadium.
You kept adding seats.
And that's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, that has to be the only reason I don't. I was like, because I love their uniforms.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Fab Five.
Fab
even
Five
though I'm
amazing.
A Duke fan when it comes down to
ugh.
It.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Can we go back to, like, has anyone else significant come out of Auburn? Is, like, he just, like, the...
Frank yeah. Thomas, Charles Barkley.
Okay.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Tequila I didn't
Spikes.
Even know that school at all.
Oh, yeah. Tequila
I,
Spikes.
That part of the... When the film came on.
Oh, yeah.
Like him or the Alabama, like Alabama State, right? That was the two schools he could have gone to.
No, just University of Alabama.
Yeah, just Alabama. Yeah.
And that was the one that was like, you can't play till your sophomore year, which doesn't make any sense.
Or maybe junior year.
Well, that's because Bear Bryant was still there.
Yeah, Bear Bryant wasn't going to start him because he hadn't earned it.
And he didn't have to.
He didn't have to.
But I think later on he said, that was a huge mistake of mine.
Yeah.
Which is like...
the understatement.
Can you imagine? Right. I mean, he made Bear... That's how good he was.
Yeah.
Was he made Bear Bryant go like, I was wrong about that one.
Yeah. Bear Bryant doesn't apologize.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to.
That mountain said something.
Yeah. I also love this quote. I can't remember who said it, but he was like, Bo Jackson gave us hope because he was perfect and we all want to see perfection.
Was it Klosterman?
No.
There's a lot of Klosterman in
there. There was a lot. Yeah. It's like, where did that come from? That was a little confusing. Not that confusing, but just having Chuck Klosterman involved.
He's like an enthusiastic nerd, I guess. So
he's a good cut, too, because he is going to give you a lot of information in like an entertaining way. That's a good point.
And then I was also wondering, why was there no agent to help him out when he went and talked to Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Oh, God.
Why wasn't there a third party?
He wasn't allowed to have an agent.
Oh, that's right.
Because of
Congress. And then what they told him was it was okay.
Right.
The Buccaneers said that.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's why he was like, that's why he didn't go play football.
Right.
He was like, well, fuck you. Yeah. I want to go enter the draft.
That was pretty amazing. Like, that was a grudge that decided I'm going to just go do baseball.
Well, also,
isn't that amazing? That's how talented.
I like that, too. Like, that and like the things where
he stands
up. Oh, I got
options other people don't.
Right. Yeah. Like, basically, like, what I did, I liked, he was his own man in all these ways where he wasn't. Even though he went and worked for Nike, that's like one other thing, but I'm sure like he benefited.
Yeah.
I'm sure he made a great amount of money off of that, but he just seemed to just do things according to his own guiding principles. Like the fact that now he's like, this is my trophy room after all this stuff, and it has nothing to do with either football. Baseball or football. Yeah. He's like, I'm really good at hunting. That's like his trophy room, and that's like his mentality.
And he also owns like a food distribution company the South, which is... He's smart.
Smart
as hell.
No, there's so much to admire about Bo Jackson, and like that is absolutely one of them. When he's like, "Oh, is that Tampa Bay on the phone? Tell him to go fuck off."
Yes,
you know,
fuck
like,
you.
And they're offering him the highest paid salary in NFL at the time.
He would have changed that franchise.
Yeah,
they knew
absolutely.
That. They knew that,
and they sucked for so long too.
And they still do.
And they still fucking suck.
And it's because of what they did to Bo.
Yeah, and it took. I mean, you know, they have that one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know,
being someone who...
But I'm a big Gruden fan. Yeah. So.
Oh, I like Gruden, too. Yeah. That's because he's just powerful.
Yeah,
that's
he's
why they won.
Guy.
He went and went to Tampa Bay and won. That's how powerful.
A quick aside, I love his ESPN quarterback camp show. It's the best thing.
I will watch anytime that's on. If I'm like on the road or anything, I'm like, well, I'm going to study some film for a while.
Yeah, dude. Because have you ever seen his nondiscreet, weird Tampa Bay office where he watches film where he has...
Is that where it's at?
They have this weird... There's a quick documentary about it.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Has no sign or anything. He goes and he has film from like 40 years all in this one tiny office that he watches film.
I love him because it's like, you know, you see some people and they're like, oh, they're good at their job.
Right.
They know how to turn it on. Like,
yeah.
That dude isn't turning anything on.
No, John Gruden is football.
There's a great, when they were in Denver last week, they went out to the Red Rocks because the Monday Night Football was there. And there's like this little package of just him at the Red Rocks and he loves music.
Yeah.
It just hits that same look when he's talking about film and he's just looking. I was like, he's not an actor, you guys.
No,
he loves this.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
That's why things should be cast.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, when I had to turn it off for a second when the injury happens, because I broke my leg a couple years ago and I just started feeling when they have repeated looping of him getting tackled. And
well,
I guess
it didn't
they
break.
Huh?
His leg didn't break.
His leg didn't break, but the hip popping out and just like the way the number of slow motion things on it and the way he's describing like the ice pick going up his hip.
Yeah.
All that stuff was so like, I'm like, I need to stop watching this for a second because I'm getting like weirded out by it.
Yeah.
It's just like too like, ugh, I just started feeling physically like
sure. You get those phantom pains.
Yeah.
Yeah, just from, like, hearing about it. And then the video, there's a lot of cool animations in here because they animate all that stuff from his youth, like him, like,
crab
with the shovel and the crab apples and all that stuff, or jumping over 40-foot ditch.
Yeah.
But then they show like the blood vessel in the hip, like just like bleeding out down his hip. I'm like, this is gnarly.
Because he's so strong.
He just didn't even realize
Because of his natural ability, it fucked up his shit.
It's so weird. He was so strong and so fast that if he had been lesser of a physical specimen, he wouldn't have gotten hurt.
As bad.
It would have been the velocity and his weight.
Because it stopped and all of his velocity tore his hip out of joint.
But he also, they also found he had a degenerative disease.
That didn't get talked about in the film.
Well, I know this just because my grandmother has the same thing.
Okay.
And it's like it deteriorates certain, like a bone, something.
Bone
like
mass?
Something in the, where it just, I'm not a fucking doctor, but I know that my grandmother has two fake hips, and it's because they're both at hers. And he only had one in one of his. And it's something that he shouldn't have, they shouldn't have. They're like, well, they could have found it. Like, no, they wouldn't have looked for that until he was like in his 50s.
You wouldn't have thought. So that's a genetic condition that he has?
Uh-huh. Mm. It's a rare one, but not as rare as you think either.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the bow nose commercial?
Yeah. I definitely remember
that. That was gigantic when that came out.
Well, it was amazing.
Yeah. It was.
They Bo showed Diddley. The clip of the Spike Lee one from before that. I guess that was like still Nike, getting into that.
Yeah,
that was before this came along, but that was a pretty big thing. Like Nike was just on top of all the advertising stuff back then. I forgot they said that actually at the time it came out, Reebok was the number one shoe.
Yeah.
So
Reebok
actually knocked Reebok off.
Yeah, Bo brought them back.
Yeah.
And here's I hate this. It's like as much as I love, I love Bo Jackson. Those shoes are fucking hideous.
They were super uncomfortable, too.
Yeah.
They talk about the design of them. It has muscles in it.
Shoe store when those came out. When I was a freshman in college when those shoes came out, and I worked at a shoe store, and I remember we all tried on the Bo Jacksons. It was just like, ugh, these are fucking horrible.
They're horrible.
They were so cheaply made, but they sold like fucking hotcakes.
And I saw them. I saw them recently. I was in New York. You know, you go to the sneaker stores. That's like an art gallery.
Yeah.
Some of those stores in New York are like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
How y'all get time to do this? And they had them, and I was like, and then I just sat there, and I thought about it. I was like, I mean, I'm a grown man. I can get it.
You can buy your own. Yeah.
And I was like, they're so ugly.
They
I
were
can't
so
do
uncomfortable.
It.
Yeah. It's like the Larry Johnsons. I don't know if you guys remember when the Grandmamas came out, but those shoes were hideous. I saw, to that point, a guy last week wearing some Patrick Ewing's walking down the street, and I had to stop him because they were gold, and they were Patrick Ewing's shoes, which I couldn't believe he had.
That's a thing. They're in New York. I see them.
Oh, okay.
It's like I think it's more of like a delicacy. If that's the right word for the shoe, because you're right, they're garbage looking.
Yeah.
They're the hideous. It's just like, did you get a deal with Kmart? Who did this?
Walmart has those shoes. Yeah.
It's like, and I think another great is like the Steph Curry's.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah,
that was a
bad mistake.
Just the Boca Ratons is what that looked like.
Yeah.
Just the white.
That's the dad on the weekends washing the car.
Like, I got some white New Balance.
Yeah. Well, he's got something in the crock pot.
Dad? Yes.
Yeah. Cooking some beans up with his new white shoes on. And then Tecmo Bowl, which is something else that goes right into my life because we play Tecmo Bowl all the time.
Oh, right, the video game.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bo Jackson couldn't be stopped.
No, you could not play the Raiders. We had there's no.
No, yeah, there was always that rule.
You could not play the fucking Raiders.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if someone was new and didn't know the game, you're like, well, I'll be the Raiders. And you can be whoever. Like the Raiders aren't a great team.
You can be the Bucks. I'll be the Raiders. I remember the Bucks were the worst in that game. But and then you know the famous Bo Jackson running the football out of the tunnel in the Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I kind of remember that happening.
Kingdom, right?
In Seattle, yeah.
Oh, my friend Owen Straw, who's a funny comedian, he lives in Brooklyn. He's from Seattle. That's where I met him. He's a very funny comic. He's got this great joke about growing up in Seattle. He's like, yeah, man, I used to think I was like a badass. I had that Bosworth haircut and I was walking around being a badass on the playground. He's like spitting on people. And, He was like, I was a badass until someone with a Bo Jackson haircut ran my ass over.
That's funny.
Just a great joke that only a few people ever get.
That's a really good documentary, too. The Bosworth documentary is really good.
Is it a 30 for 30?
Because it shows how he was like, look, I didn't understand the choices. I thought people would realize some of the things I was doing.
Right.
And he just didn't have good handlers, it sounded like.
The 80s were bad for handlers, I think. I mean, Jim McMahon, you know, Bosworth. There's a lot of people doing some silly shit.
I don't think you could have reined in Jim McMahon, though.
Probably not.
I don't think a handler. I think that would have. That guy was. he's still, like, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, Jim McMahon's. Yeah.
And now he's speaking out about medical marijuana.
Yeah.
And I think he should. I think it's crazy to me they're not giving him that.
I know. Yeah, well, he's got a lot of painful maladies and stuff that he needs medical marijuana for. But he's been an outspoken proponent of someone who's talked out about concussions and just football
and how bullshit. Injuries. I mean, he was always doing that.
Yeah,
he's a rock star.
Oh yeah, I love Jim McMahon.
Like a true rock star, that guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, the mid '80s Bears were incredible.
That documentary. Have you seen the Buddy Ryan one?
Yeah.
About the Bears?
Sure.
I'm going to start crying just thinking about him and Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
I mean, you're football. We're so sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, George. Sorry.
There's like five other people that are like, what's going on? But everyone else knows.
I was actually about to talk about the 4-6 defense, so that would have been like... so good.
I'm thinking about Nick Cave the whole time.
Yeah. But the Buddy Ryan defense and how much like him and Ditka...
And I didn't realize the Buddy Ryan was there for... The Vikings.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. He was loosely, like, another, like, very just famous, infamous defense.
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, that's what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's that's how, like, Gruden used his 4-6 defense with Lynch in Tampa Bay. That's how, why their defense was so fucking good.
Lynch.
Oh, that guy.
Scary, scary
man. That guy's
a
monster. Let's see what I was going to say. Basically almost a Hall of Famer in two sports. I mean, not really. Mm-hmm. Bo Jackson.
No, he can't.
Broke records.
He couldn't because there wasn't just the length.
Right.
He didn't have the longevity because.
Yeah.
How many seasons was that he was doing both? Three? Two?
A little longer than that, I think. I'd say like five, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was longer than you think because he just was dominant for like a while. Like, I think just long enough right before he got hurt where people were like, that's when people were like, oh, he could have just.
This fucking guy.
Because I think in the beginning.
He's 28 when that happens.
Yeah.
And I think in the beginning, people were like, we'll see how long he can pull this off. And then when he was like pulling it off for a while, that's when people were like, oh, he's like an alien.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like when people made that realization. That's when, like, right after that was when people were like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do two pro sports, like Deion Sanders, there's like, it's like, who are you?
And he still didn't do it the way Bo did. It was still like he was a sloppy baseball player. He was a gimmicky baseball player at best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As a true baseball guy, it's like, he's a flashy leadoff that would you have him if he wasn't?
Yeah.
Have you guys played with people that you felt like had just God-given innate talents, like physical talents?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There's a joke on my new special or album.
The Third
available
Man.
Available live at Third Man Records coming out in a couple weeks. And I'm learning how to do that better.
That's a good plug.
You understand the farm boy in you where you're like, I'm not allowed to talk about stuff I do.
No.
That's not it.
I have this
mind
album
fuck I have to get over. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, well, you need to promote it because that's how you make money, you stupid fucker. I'm proud of it.
It's
really good.
If it's true, it ain't bragging.
And yes, and it's really good, and I'm proud of it. I like it, and I'm a dick about comedy. What was the question?
Just like people that you played with.
On my album, there's like I talk about. There was a couple dudes I played with in junior college that I don't understand how good they were at it. And they, like, literally, though, like, idiot savants. Mm-hmm.
Where, they weren't good at anything else in life.
Like, I don't know how some of them function.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I assume that there's a couple dudes assume are dead.
Yeah.
Because once baseball stopped, I'm like, they don't know what to do.
Yep.
It was, but on the field,
generals?
Like, I don't, like, they knew. It was like this, they would tune in and, like, they were like, this is the thing I do.
Yeah.
We're just like, what in the fuck?
And always about two or three steps faster than everybody. And
like, no, like they knew.
Yeah, they knew exactly how it worked.
And could do it. But they always had consistency issues, I think, because of the mental toughness of baseball and that you do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would get distracted by very visceral things, like usually pussy or beer.
Right.
Would just those
distract them.
Yeah. It wasn't anything complicated like.
Yeah.
Like,
inner demons. Yeah. Like, outer demons.
Where, is this what I want to do with my life kind of shit? Like, shit I'm thinking about? Like, so we're going to do this every single day, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to play baseball every day.
Well, there's even pro athletes who do that. Like, in the NBA, there's some pro athletes that just like Sean Kemp. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's people that throw their careers away for just like drinking
Woods,
girls. Or, yeah.
Well, I think that's, they can't turn it off. That it's like, people are like, I've heard Michael Jordan's kind of a dick. You're like, really? The most competitive basketball player of all time.
Right.
That guy's a dick to be around? No shit.
Yeah.
He can't lose it stuff.
No.
So.
Yeah, of course he's a dick.
Yeah, that, have you ever been around somewhere uber competitive? It's like, God, just turn it off.
Yeah, can here, we just, you win. You always just give in to them. It's like, you fucking win.
But then they don't want to accept. They're like, no, you need to compete with me.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm tired. We're just playing ping pong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this was fucking amazing. Bo Jackson is like the Beatles. That's my closing quote that I put down on here.
Yeah, who said that? Someone.
I don't remember. I didn't write his name down. Yeah. But
is that Klosterman? It feels like a Klosterman-y type quote.
Or it feels like Jeremy Shapp.
Yeah, I think it might have been Jeremy Shapp.
Oh, but because of like this briefness, like he came out, he left on top.
Yeah.
That's what they meant.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he left.
There was no dive down.
Yeah.
Well, he did come back and they said he was never 100% again.
He came back
still,
and then
what he did was like amazing.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, because of the recovery? Yeah.
Well, because he had a fake fucking hip and he was playing Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's
nuts.
Insane.
Yeah, that is nuts.
And he hit that home run.
Just specimens play Major League Baseball. Those dudes are specimens.
Yeah.
And he's got a fake hip, which makes it harder to run.
Right,
a lot harder to run.
And he's like, okay, now I'm at everybody else's level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had to get it.
Which is supernatural.
And that's why people were like, he's still like good.
Yeah. I mean, looking at his butt and his legs, like when they show him, like it's just incredible.
You forget.
How tall is that dude?
6'2"?
Maybe.
I don't even think he was. Yeah, he wasn't very tall.
Yeah.
And fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing they all talk about. And that's the track part, too, right?
Someone that big and then also the fastest.
Yeah.
Fastest combine in the 40 that they had at that time. He ran the 40 in 4.1 seconds.
Right.
That's fucking retarded.
And Alabama wanted to put him at defensive tackle.
Oh, wow.
Because of his size.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons he also.
And not a running back?
Yeah, because they're like, well, if you do play, we got you. We won't put you on defense because you're fast.
Right.
And he's like, no, give me the ball.
Yeah,
thanks. Was it in college that he did that play where he jumps over?
Yes.
Everyone? Yeah,
that was the fourth.
That's like the famous play.
That was the Auburn versus Alabama.
Vertical over everyone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, I jump 6'8", coach. Let me just jump over everybody.
I could run over them or around them. I can jump over them,
like,
too.
Like, do people not – that's not done, right?
No.
Not really.
They'll just stand your ass up. Especially 4th-and-1. That defense is ready for a run because they're not going to throw it.
Yeah.
Like, they're ready for a run, and he still managed to do that.
Well, that's also what people don't talk about is, like, when he was in the game, it's like there's certain athletes who are like, everyone knows who's getting it. They know what's about.
Yeah,
everyone is aware what's about to happen, and there's not shit you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like you're talking about those specimens. There was a couple guys I played in high school football where I was like, there was like, you just couldn't. You're like, I hope they trip over me or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go. There's this, they put me at tight end just one game my sophomore year because they needed someone that could play. I could play different positions. Because I understood them and I was athletic enough. And for some reason, they put me at tight end, which is the dumbest.
Mm.
I was a blocker.
Yeah.
Not even. But the guy went on to play at Alabama, and at halftime, our head coach goes, could you just try to get in his way? And I was like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Like one play, he just picked me up and threw me.
Wow.
The next play, I went to dive at his feet, and he fucking jumped over me.
Yeah.
I was like, and then the next play, he just ran into me till I fell into the ground and still got, and I was like, and he's like, I know, there's nothing you can do. And I was like, this is.
Well, you play, I mean, if you grow up in the sticks, like I guess like you and I did, there's some big country dudes, you know, big ass country dudes.
They
like
don't lift weights.
The size of barns that do not lift weights. But they've been out helping their dad.
You want me to lift the tractor?
Yeah, exactly.
You're stuck on dad again. Just, okay. And now I got to hit that dude?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Okay. Yeah, right. They don't feel pain.
That's like, oh, does it? It's like, oh, bombing on stage must suck. You're like, no. That's fine. That is fine.
What position did you play for baseball?
I was a catcher.
Oh, nice.
I could throw I loved catching, and this is another reason I think I could have played professional baseball.
Oh, cool.
At a certain level. I think I could have played as high as single or double A if I focused.
Right.
And that's what I wanted. But I realized in junior college, like, fuck this.
Yeah.
This is every day. And such a small percentage of people truly make any money playing professional baseball.
Uh-huh.
People don't realize that. Like, up in you
compared to football, compared to basketball,
any of them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You could be a professional athlete, mm-hmm. but you're not gonna. I was making as much as being a fucking
comedian.
Fucking feature act.
Yeah.
You know, having fun. I get to have fun. I don't have to go practice every day.
Right.
But I didn't like hitting as much as like I loved catching. I loved it.
You can age out a little bit more in baseball than some of the other ones.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. It's a longer game.
You can be into your 40s and
it's a more intelligent game.
Yeah.
There's more.
A lot of strategy.
Yeah, it's chess.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand how there's like 40-year-old catchers. That doesn't like. It seems like your knees. I don't know
how. There are dudes that are just made for it.
Yeah.
That's another reason where I was like, I was a weird frame. Mm.
They're kind of squatty, right? Most catchers.
They're thick.
Yeah.
Because you need to be, and you need to take a lot of abuse.
Right.
Because it's like me and my buddy, Pudge, the other catcher, like we got along too. And looking back, like we were two of the smarter dudes on the team.
Yeah.
And we used to really laugh like, okay, here's what we do for fun.
Uh-huh.
Is we squat. We just squat for 3 hours. and then we have somebody just take the hardest, like just hard twine and throw it as hard as they can at us, and we catch it. And we have someone stand with a metal rod, and we squat as close as we can to him. And he tries to hit that ball with that thing, and we can't, and he doesn't need to hit us. And if they throw that ball in the dirt, we throw our body in front of it and stop it. And that's what we do for fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is what it is pretty fun. He's like, I know, but it makes no fucking sense.
That's funny.
Then you guys, you get older, you're like, oh, I was like a masochist. I'm a masochist.
Yeah.
It's like I like a little bit of like,
That looks like a hard position to play. I wouldn't want to do it.
Well, I would get bored playing any other position.
Right. Like, that makes sense.
My American Legion coach used to make fun of me because double headers, I'd catch the first game and he put me in right field the second game. Just because in the middle of the summer and you're touring in Alabama, you know, you're playing in Alabama, it's 110.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we don't want you to die.
Yeah.
This was how, I mean, I know we're on a podcast, but you guys will get it. Like, this is how I reacted playing outfield when the ball was hit to me. Just because I was so bored.
Yeah,
I was like, he was like, you'd always make the play, but you'd always be surprised. Like, oh, shit. Yeah, we're playing.
Kind of have to wake up again.
Just boring.
Yeah.
I love those scenes in the dock where, like, he's flying through the air to catch those balls.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you could show anyone that scene where he runs up the wall.
That's
like,
amazing.
I didn't remember that from before. I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah. And it's so natural.
He's doing parkour on the baseball field. Yeah.
In cleats.
He invented it. Yeah. He invented parkour playing baseball.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I really enjoyed this. I met a lot of people that really love this doc as well. This might be for some people, they're only 30 on 30 they've actually seen.
Well, he's so authentic and just a, there's no horse shit about
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see, like, because I was like, I really haven't seen anything of this guy since that accident, I guess, or since that injury. Yeah. So it's like just seeing that he's got a pretty good normal life.
Yeah.
He just loves making arrowheads.
Yes, he likes to be in his man cave.
And he's still competitive, but now it's against like nature yeah. or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's always kind of been, I mean, if you're that much better than everybody else, you're creating your own games in your head.
Yeah.
Right. Because no one can truly compete with you.
Yeah.
And he was doing some strategic stuff, right? Like that play, he suggested that play where he goes over the top.
Oh, right.
Like he's
sharp as hell.
Giving input to the entire
Well, thing. And it, a lot of his anger, and this is what I think, is as a young person, where he got the name Bo as a wild, he couldn't communicate.
Right, the stuttering, yeah.
So, and as someone very intelligent and you can't communicate.
Anger.
That fucking frustration, like, that makes you so mad. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad's dyslexic, mm-hmm. and they thought he was dumb for a long time. And he's a very intelligent person. Mm-hmm. And then, like, one person was like, I think, hold on.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ugh. And it's like, and he was like, oh, it was like this freeing thing. Oof, of like,
I can't imagine.
And then we have some family friends, and they have an autistic, like severely autistic son. He's like 25, and they, you know, he has a caretaker. But like 4 or 5 years ago, his caretaker figured out, he said, wait a minute, and got this like keyboard.
Right, yeah.
And he started, and then like it opened up, like they were like, holy shit, he is so fucking sharp. And, right. knows. And I was like, you can see it.
Yeah.
Like there's an eye thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the ones who are like, you're not.
There's no light there. There's no light.
You're
going
not
on.
Here.
Yeah.
Where it looks nice where you're at.
Well, BW, thanks, sir.
Hey, thank you guys.
B-Dub.
Some of these suck. This was a little... Well, you know what I mean? You guys
yeah.
done them.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
we know.
Like, and it's like 20 minutes in, you're like, ah, shit.
No, yeah. No, what do we do?
It's like, you want to talk about this is something you want
to
talk about.
And I did want to mention, I have two, Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
And Killer Bees. I love those guys.
Very different comics. And I may never hear that again.
You may not.
That I'm gonna tell Nate that. I'm gonna text Nate. I did a podcast today and he's like, I love two Southern comics, Nate Bargatze and Killer Bees. You guys should tour.
You should tour. That's my advice. Okay, thanks.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you guys.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes or more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.